Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Mem Hey. We're holding the last Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Dalid Omid Beis, the last three lines. Look to Mishnah. Remember, we're talking about, unfortunately, someone who has been convicted of a capital crime and he's been taken Nebuch Lemisa. So the previous Mishnah that we learned on Mem Gimel Omid Beis, he was 10 Amos away, and we tell him, now is good time to go and say Vidoy to Mechaper on all of your Averis. So, he presumably said that, and now we've got another 6 Amos, and we're up to Hoya Rochim Beis Eskila, 4 Amos. He's only 4 Amos away. At this point, we're now, unfortunately, ready for the actual execution. Mafshitan Oisi as Begodav. We go and strip him of his clothing. We'll see in the Gemara that there's a benefit of removing the clothing, and that is that the clothing will not be a temporary insulation when one, Chas V'Shalom, throws him down or throws stones on him. So by doing the Mafshitan Oisei Begodov, the Misa hopefully will be more instantaneous. However, because of concerns of Gilui Erva, Ha'ish Machasan Oisei Melefonov, we go and put in front of his Mokam Erva down below a small piece of cloth to go and cover that up. Ha'isha, when it comes to a woman, Mufana Me'acharel, both from the front and from the back. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Only by a man is there this whole inyan of going and doing skila when he is without clothing. But when it comes to a woman, she goes and wears clothing like usual. And we'll see more in the Gemara what's the basis of the machlokes. We learned that a braisa. Ish mechasan oisei perek echad milfonav. Perek echad, says Rashi, either means a small part of his body, which means down below the mokam erva, or the word perek is referring to a piece of cloth, like a large rag, so to speak. So you put it over that mokam milfonav. The isha shnei brokim bein milfonav bein malacharam and isha kula erva. Reason is because a woman, she has a different form of erva than a man, and it is visible from both sides, from the front and from the back, and therefore you go and put two pieces of clothing, one from the front and one from the back. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda obviously holds, like we had in our Mishnah, that she is also stoned without clothing, except for those small pieces. No, only ish niskal orim. There ain't no ish niskal aruma at all. She wears clothing. Might to my rabbanu, where the rabbanu take this from? Amakrot says in the pasuk, v'rogmu oisoy. So what do we learn from v'rogmu oisoy? It could have said v'rogmu hu. By saying v'rogmu oisoy, we mean to say just oisoy. Are you telling me that the din of skila only applies to men and not to women? And it's referring to at the end of the pasuk says, so we see that the skila applies to women too. So what does oisoi mean? Ella my oisoi b'leksusai means only him, only his body, and nothing else in addition. No ksus covering him. Says the Rabban. But since that pasuk only says oisoi, oisa piksusa, we don't have a similar drasha by a woman, only by a man. Oisoi b'leksusai oisa. However, she goes with the normal clothing like usual. That is Reb Nitanakam. That only men and not ladies. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oisai Beloik Susai, Loishna Isha, Loishna Isha. When it says Oisai Beloik Susai, this is not just a din that applies to men, it also applies to women. The Oisai obviously is a male form of word. It's not a female form, it says Oisai and not Oisa. So Rashi says that Rabbi Yehuda relies on what we say that Hishva Hakos of Isha Leish L'chol Misa Shabbatoira. The Gemara says elsewhere that although a lot of the mitzvahs and a lot of the averis, both the mitzvasei and the mitzvahs loisasei, are written in the Torah in the masculine form, however, there are a number of psukim where the Torah says ish or isha. We learn from that that the Torah was mashva, the Torah equated women to men when it comes to all dinei misais. So therefore, even though it says oisoi loiksusai, it also means oisa b'loiksusa. We see from this the Rabbanan that hold that we darshan in the psukim that she goes with clothing, she's stoned with clothing, presumably are concerned about hira. Now, It's interesting that the Gemara says that, because we're not assuming that the Rabbanan is Reb Shimon, so we're not being Doidish Tam Adikra. The reason why we say that a woman doesn't has the din that she goes and continues being clothed is because only by Oisai it says Oisai B'loik Susai. It doesn't say Oisa B'loik Susa. So why are we jumping to conclusions that the Svara of the Rabbanan is Chayshel Hirahura? So Rashi says very simply, even though the Torah doesn't say according to the Rabbanan Oisa B'loik Susa, and therefore the Rabbanan says, since it doesn't say it, then leave the clothing on. No, isn't there an inyan that we should try to go and have her Misa happen as quickly as possible so that she shouldn't suffer? Anybody that is unfortunately thrown down from two komos, from the heights, as we'll see, and anyone that is stoned, by wearing clothing that extends and prolongs the agony and the pain of being stoned. So why wouldn't we on our own go and say, even though the Torah doesn't require it, why don't we go and say that just like the Torah says, Oisai b'loik susai, a man has to go without any clothing, and presumably that's good for him because he has less pain as a result of the more instantaneous death. Why don't we say the same thing with Gabi, a woman? Even though the Torah is not mechayev, it doesn't address it, but we want to go and do something good for her. After all, v'tzilo eda, do whatever you can to go and help people. So why wouldn't we want to help? Hold, I'm concerned. Yes, it might be good for her physically to go and die more quickly. On the other hand, it's bizyoinis for her, as well as hirhurim, that people that see it, they'll come with they hear her and see things that they shouldn't be seeing. So that's the reason why Rabbanan did not institute mitrabanan, go and remove the clothing to have an instantaneous death, because they're concerned about hirhur. Mashiach for Buddha said, that's not a problem. I'm not concerned about that at all. And that's why, just like I darshan uitzablexus, right? I darshan the same thing applies to women, because Hishwa Hakosav Isha li ish tochom Yishwa Matayra. Frank Timor, if that is the case, we find the very same machloikis in a totally different context, where the two opinions are reversed. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan say just the opposite.
Is this a sota?
Exactly. Boy, you're so here. Ariel, it's so good to have you.
The Nagar of Eretz Yisrael.
The Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machim. How do I know that it's talking about Soita? Now we have a Mishnah, Pesach de Soita. HaKoyin Uichiz Bibigodel Im Nikru'u Nikru'u Vim Nifrumu Nifrumu Ache Megale Esliba V'Soyser Es Sar. It says in the Pasuk, when a Soita comes to the base of Megdish, it says that the Koyin goes Ufara Es Roisha Isha. So clearly it says ufara, which means to uncover. And the Gemara learns that, for instance, if a woman's ear was braided, that the Kohen goes and undoes the braid. Now, although the Torah doesn't say anything about the Kriyas HaBegodim, the Gemara in Masechta Soitan Daf Ches Tarshin, by the fact that it says ufara es roish ha'isha, it could have said ufara es roisha. By adding ha'isha, it's coming to tell you other types of humiliation. What other types? Not only do you remove the head covering and unbraid the hair, but also he goes and grabs the top of her dress and he gives a yank. And nikru, if they tore, nikru, then they tore. Vim nifrumu, nifrumu means that they not just tore, but they became tattered into like little pieces. Nifru, nifrumu. So if that's what happens, that's what happens. There are no specific rules and regulations. But the point is, we want to humiliate her for what she did, until we go and expose part of her, the upper part of her body. The Seisa Sarah, as we said, unbraids the hair. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if she happens to be an attractive lady, no. The Torah requires it, yeah, but is the concern about the Irhurim, we'll see shortly of the Pirche Kahuna, of the young Kohanim that are standing around, that if they go and see that sight, it could go and cause potential halachic issues. Anyway, so what do I see from this? That here, Rabbi Yehuda is very concerned about Irhurim, and we see that the Chamar, not concerned about Irhurim. Yet over here in our Gemara, when we're dealing with the execution of a woman, seems to be just the opposite. That the Rabbanan are chayish li'irhurim, and they say, go and she should continue to be dressed, fully clothed, at the time of the stoning. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, that's fine. You can go and remove the clothing and put the two pieces of material at the bottom. And so it's just the opposite of the Gemara, the Insaita. So what's going on? Everything went Omer Rabba. So Rabba is now answering the stira of Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Hasab, there, you know why Rabbi Yehuda says, Im hoye liba no, loy hoye megaleo, Im hoye sara no, loy hoye soistra, you know why he holds that. Shemeteitzei mi bezin zaka'a. What happens if she's going to drink from the mayim ha'ma'orim, and then afterwards we find that, Baruch Hashem, she lived. If she lived, then we let her go home scot-free. Yeah, but the problem is, a few minutes ago, a couple of hours ago, some of the Pirchei Kahuna, some of the youngsters among the Kahanim, saw her when she was not fully clothed, and v'yiskru ba Pirchei Kahuna, they may start chepening with her and say, you know, maybe we could, and they'll start reading the columns there in the papers, you know, Kol HaShachar.
Well, as if she's chilled out.
Yeah, find out if she's chilled out, exactly. Especially if it's a cold day. Anyway, but the point is, because of that, we say, the best thing is, if she happens to be attractive, do not go and be megala es liba. However, hocha by uns, what means by uns, in the case of the execution, hamikla, we don't have to worry about that. After the execution, some of these kehanim are going to be interested in her, because unfortunately she's dead. Ay, v'chitem emi, going to tell me, also this geruya me'achronaisa, by seeing things that they shouldn't see by this woman when she was undressed, maybe that will cause them to have such yirhurim and cause them therefore to be provoked and incited vis-a-vis other women to go and chepel with them. Amar Rabba, we have a klal gemiru, we have a mesoira, ein yetzahara shoyler misha ein avroyes. That you don't have to worry that a person is going to go and chepetzach with a particular woman that he saw undressed for a short period of time, vis-a-vis other women. You have to worry about this woman that if he saw her, then chas v'shalom, there's a big yetzahara there. But that Yetzirah doesn't transfer to another woman, so I'm not worried about that. So with this we have L'chayra, a pretty solid teretz, a libid Rabbi Yehuda, that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda over here is not worried, why, let's start on the other side, the reason why he's worried about Tzoyt is because if she goes out L'chayrus, L'schus, then Chas V'Shalom L'Prichei Kahuna might go and chapel with her. I'm not worried about over here because Nebuch, she's dead, Rachman L'Tzlan. However, what about Rabban? Amarav, the Yehuda, the Rabbi Kasha, the Rabban Loi Kasha. The same Kasha we had Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, we had a Kasha, Rabban Rabban. How are we going to answer that Kasha? El Amarav, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Loi Kasha. Kiddushanin, just like we answered, the teretz that we gave was solid teretz, no problem. What about Rabban Rabban? Nami Loi Kasha. Omakrokas, it says in the Pasuk, Legabe Eisoita. It says in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, V'nivasru kol hanoshim v'loisasena kim zimaschena. What does that mean? That the reason for going and pulling on the clothing and removing the hair braids, etc., v'nivasru, to go and give musr to the women, that the women should go and see what's going on, see this terrible spectacle, and learn from this what not to do. V'loisasena, they should not do kizimaschena from a loshen zima. They shouldn't do any type of lewd activity. Meaning, even if ultimately this woman comes out lischus, but nevertheless we still have a taina on her. What's the taina on her? Explains Rashi. Obviously, she wasn't going and sitting in her kitchen at all times, or sitting in the ladies' seminary at all times. She apparently was doing other things, including going behind closed door with closed doors with someone else. How do I know? Because you can only have a soita based on kinui vestira. Kinui means that the husband went and gave her a warning, don't go behind closed doors with Yankel Smith anymore. What do you mean? The only thing we were doing was we were saying Tilim Nebuch for people throughout the world. Or we were preparing for the next Bikur Cholim luncheon or whatever. I mean, all of that is very, very fine, but don't do it behind closed doors. I have to be present or other people coming in and out. And nevertheless, she went v'nistara. She went behind closed doors. She said, I didn't do anything. That's not the way a proper Yiddish afro acts. So therefore, for that reason, even if it turns out that she's, of course, that she didn't do anything terrible, but just that she was miyachid in the room, that was already bad enough. So therefore, we want all the women to learn from this, and they shouldn't go in chas v'shalom, follow in the footsteps of this woman. That's why, unfortunately, she has to be embarrassed, and you have to pull down the clothing and undo the hair. However, in our case, when you talk about execution, there's no greater Musa Haskel that you have to go and teach the women. If a person is executed, that's the best Musa lesson and the best Teichocha that you could possibly give. If you're going to Chas HaShalom be over Isur A, B, or C, look what happened to that woman that's Nebuch hanging over there. And so therefore, it's not necessary to go and have her undressed. She already has the ultimate in humiliation by the fact that she's Nebuch hanging there on the pole after she was stoned.
Rabbi Yehuda's position is he undresses her when for execution?
Go back to the Mishnah. Hoya rochem beis haskila arba amois mavshiten oisoi es begadov. But it's not only oisoi. Uish mechasan oisem ulfana, but ish ulfaneh omeachra. So in both the case of the man and the woman, they are both undressed. In terms of the man, we at least put in one cloth in front. For an ishu, we put a cloth in front and in back. But says Rabbi Yehuda, otherwise, no clothing whatsoever, zero. Chamam oimrim, no. When it comes to an isha, we do have a wear clothing. Skelesaru. So getting back to our Gemara now. So now, Freiti Gemara, v'chisayma, levit batarti. Why don't we go and do two? Meaning, we're saying that when the woman is executed, the ein lecha yisur gadol mizeh, but the case of the soita, what is the humiliation? The removal of the clothing, and not the removal, but the tearing of the clothing, and the unbraiding of the hair. Yishikoyach. Why benivasu? Because we want to give musar and teichacha for the women. Don't do kizima of this late. So now, when this woman is now being executed, why don't we do the same thing like the man and go and undress her, just like it said by Rabbi Yehuda? And this will really be a musa haschul. The Gemara said, "Hoch ein lecha yisur gadol mizeh." Let's do both. Both that she's being hung, Rahman Lislan, and without clothing, and this will really be terrible, terrible. And all the women will learn from this. The Torah is telling us, even though this man or this woman happens to have committed a terrible criminal capital offense, gefährlich, whether it was Ritzicha, whether it was Avodah Zorah, whether it was Nus, Chil Shabbos, whatever we're talking about, you know, the real big ticket items. Nevertheless, you have to have Rachmanis and a Yiddish kind, and therefore, Baror Loi Misa Yofa. What means Misa Yofa? That she should never have to go and have the humiliation. It's bad enough that she's being killed, she's being stoned, and she's being hung. But then to go and do without clothing, come on, Abisla have a little sensitivity to this woman. Therefore, leave her clothing. Because of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda said, no, remove the clothing. So it sounds like there's a machloikis in this halach of Rav Nachman, whether you say Baror Lo Misa Yofa or not. Maybe because this person was over on such a terrible crime, such a terrible sin, maybe there's no din of a hafter reacha kamoicha. Maybe the din is vavoid rishoy marina. Let's go and celebrate that there's a Russia that's getting killed and don't have any rachmanis. Is that what's going on? To Mullah. Could be everybody agrees to Rav Nachman. Baror Lo Misa Yofa. Show ahava even for someone who's convicted of a capital crime. The question is, where should my heart lie in terms of Baror Lo Misa Yofa? There are two issues over here. Issue number one is the obvious shame and humiliation of someone Nebuch being stoned and hung without clothing, particularly for a woman. That's terribly aggressive, bizoyant. On the other hand, going and having her dressed is also troublesome because it means that the death will not be instantaneous. As a result of the insulation of the clothing, she may suffer in pain for an extra 10 seconds, minute, 5 minutes, or what have you. And therefore, we have two considerations when we are worried about this poor woman. Baror Lo Misa Yofa, are we more concerned about the bizyoinois, the humiliation, which is more, of course, more psychological and all the rest, emotional, or are we more concerned about the physical, about the fact that she's never being stoned, and if she wears clothing, it's going to go and make this a little bit more a lengthy process. A person, when he or she is passing away, even though they're passing away, and they're being executed, and even though it's going to be, unfortunately, agony, but they're more concerned about their bizyonis, about their humiliation. And therefore, put on, leave the dress on, even though it's not going to be nicha de gufe, the guf is going to suffer for another few seconds or minutes or whatever. Their bizyonis is a greater concern to them. Leave the clothing on. Marsova says, Rebuto, I disagree. Nicha de gufe, adam bizyonis. People, when they are alive and continue to live, Mi'at Hashem, for another 10, 20, 50 years, then they're certainly concerned about being humiliated, being shamed. However, this person is about to pass away. It's just another question of another minute or two, or whatever. They're not so concerned about the bizyonis. But never the physical agony of having these stones, and it's going to take a little bit longer because he's wearing clothing, or she's wearing clothing. So therefore, they're more concerned about the physical rather than the psychological and sentimental and spiritual, etc. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Now we're going to describe a little bit about the actual process. We're, as you can see, we're moving step by step. We went 10 amas away, vidoy, 4 amas away. We're now preparing for the execution, and now we're at the base of skila itself. We've gone the next 4 amas. So base of skila, the base of skila, how tall was it? Today, Tumakoma in Eretz Yisrael is a floor. So two stories, two floors. Doesn't say exactly how much each floor is. The Koma really means a Koma Sa'adam, and the average person is 3 Amos tall. Therefore, it means 6 Amos altogether. According to the Chzaynishir, that would be 12 feet. 12 feet.
This is, but the two Komos is like what we call third floor.
It's like we call the third floor, because you went up two. So the Gemara is going to say that you just jump to the beginning of the Gemara. Tana, the Koy Mishaloi, his own height, Harikan. What is it saying in the Gemara? Harikan. Shalosh. You see, Mamish, Bill is machavin to all the Tanoim and Amiroim in the Gemara. Yeshakoyach. But anyway, getting back to our case over here, the person is standing 2 koimais tall, like on top of a roof. Echem and Eidim doichwe al Mosnov. The pasuk says, "Yado edim tia boy berishoyin al hamisa v'yad kol om b'achrayna." Those two edim that saw the capital offense—they're the ones that, unfortunately, are very active in the execution. So, what do they have to do? There's a din first before we do the stoning. We do the tchia. We do the pushing. You remember we learned this in the Gemara yesterday because it says in the pasuk. Sokol yisokel oy yoro yore. Yoro means to go and never give a shtip. And this is what we do now. The first one of the edim, one out of the two, doichvoy, pushes him al masnav on his hips, on his loins, from the back. And now, Nebuch, the person falls down from the shtei koimis down to the ground. Nehapach al liboy, the presumption is that when he falls to the ground, he's falling front forward, and therefore, on the ground, he's now face to the ground, and his heart and his body is towards the ground. Then we go down from the Shtei Koimos, and we turn him around, the dead body, and we go and put him on lying on his back instead of lying on his front. Rashi says the reason is, again, because of humiliation, because it's more humiliating for a person to be lying there with his face and stomach into the ground. Rather, we go and do it the other way around. The Im Meis Ba, this is a question that Barry already asked 3 days ago, and I told him, near Hashem, we have a whole parak, so let's wait. What happens if, as a result of the pushing down from the heights, he falls to the ground, he already dies with that? Yotze, you don't have to throw any stones. Yotze, he's already dead, that's it. The Im Lav, what happens if he's still around, he's still living? Then Hasheni, the second eight, Noitlas Evan, he takes one stone. The noisle alibai, the losh of a noisle sounds like he gingerly, nicely puts it on his leg, but you see, Mitchum and Yom Beis, this is just a nice term used by the Mishnah. It really means he throws it on that individual.
And the second.
The second aid throws a single stone on the individual Nebuchadnezzar who's now being executed. Im Meis Ba, if that stone does the trick, Yotza, we're done. And the Adam can leave, and they did their duty. However, if the person is still alive, we will see in the Gemara and the Amud Beis that it's recorded that this never happened. In other words, always as a result of that pushing down from the heights and throwing a stone on top of him, the person always died. Period. However, our Mishnah is telling us, Lu Yitzur, hypothetically, theoretically, the Imlav, if that didn't work and the person is still alive, then all the Eden of Klal Yisrael do it. They all have that right or duty to go and finish off. Then it says, oh, Pasik, but only if it's necessary. If the other Edom did a perfect job, we're done. We don't need to have the contribute to the effort here. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah that the person is on top of two kaimais, and we'll remember Bill just told us about 2 minutes ago. Tony, we learned in the Braisa the kaimishaloi. Kaimishaloi means he's not sitting down there on the roof, he is standing. Since he is standing, look, from the head all the way down to the ground, Harry Kancholish, now you have three koinos. As a result of that, falling down, being pushed down, face forward, onto the ground, good chance he'll die on the spot as soon as he hits the ground. And if not, we have to add a boulder, a big stone on top of it. Frank Demar Babina Kulahai, really to go and ensure that this person dies, you have to go and push him from such heights? Raminu, didn't we learn back in Bava Kama that the din of the Mishnah talks about if a behemah dies in a bar, shiach umma'ara. And the Gemara says, why do we have to go and list all three? Ma'bar shehu kedei lohamas asara tvachim afkol. Same thing applies to a shiach umma'ara, which are different forms of bairais. One is a little bit longer, one's a little bit shorter, one's a little bit rounder, things of that nature, more circular. Afkol kedei lohamas asara tvachim. What type of bar can be made? This can go and kill someone if it has a depth of 10 tvachim. So I see from this that for 10 tefachim is enough. If even though that pasuk is talking about bar v'shar,
because of the air,
that the machloek is Rav and Shmuel, whether it's because of havlo or because of chavta. Very good, yeah, Bill. You're right. You're cooking with gas today, like always. But the point is certainly because the man the yomer that holds chavta, that just by the fact that the clap alone, even according to havlo, you'd have to go and say, but being pushed down, thrown down from those heights, all of a sudden. Also, you don't have the proper ear circulation. After all, now it falls down in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, it hits the ground. Anyway, 10 tvachim is enough. That being the case, why do you have to go and do it from three koimais? This is the same Reb Nachman as before. If you're going to go and push him down 10 tvachim, he'll die, but it's going to take much longer. Because 10 tefachim is not the great height, the koimais with each koim is three. We're talking about 9 amas. Here we're talking about 10 tefachim. So this is much less. So we want this to happen much more quickly, much more instantly. That's why we do it from three koimais, as opposed to 10 tefachim. Why don't you do it from the top of the Empire State Building and throw the person down? Then it's really going to happen instantaneously. Nebuch, the body falls down to the ground from such height, then Nebuch, the whole body is going to fall into numerous pieces. Nebuch, you saw the pictures, Nebuch, from the World Trade Center years ago, Rahman al-Islam. It's really, really bad. The word menavel means it's going to be nivul ha-meis. The mace is going to be humiliated and disgusted. So therefore, we don't do that. So we have to draw a line somewhere in between because of this din to go and do a misa yofa. On the one hand, we don't want the person to have agony for a long time just going down the 10th vachim. We do three koimas. On the other hand, we don't want him to have a total nivul ha-meis. So therefore, three koimas and not higher than that. In the Mishnah, we said that the procedure is echman edim doichfai. Now, the truth be told, in all the parishes where the Torah talks about either uskaluhu or rogmu oisai, uskaltem bavonim, never talks about this tchir that you push from the heights. Theoretically, the person could be standing here in front of you and you start throwing stones. Where do we know this doichfai from? It's Tana Rabbanan. Minayin Shebetchia. Now this Minayin Shebetchia doesn't go in our Mishnah. Minayin Shebetchia is going on a historical event that happened. What is the historical event? It says in the Pasuk that the Yidden that were getting the Torah on Har Sinai, they should stay away from the Har. It says in the Pasuk, Leisiga Bayad. Don't go even touch it with your hand. Ki sakol yisakol. I'm reading from pasuk number 6 in the Torah Arashavim. Lesing b'yod ki sakol yisakol ayora yiyora in behemim ish lo yichya m'sheich hayoy v'lehemi alvar. After m'sheich hayoy, then you can go up. And at the moment of the Har Sinai, Don't even think of going beyond the barriers. They made a gvul. Don't go beyond that to go and towards the mountain. If you do, it'll be skila or yoro yiyora. Now, what does the word yoro yiyora mean? So our Gemara says that the word yoro means tchia. Yeah, push the guy down from the heights. Minayin shebetchia. Tamalim says in the pasuk yoro. Now, where does it say? Where does yoro mean that you push from the heights? Says Rashi, we say it in the Shira every day. Loshen hashlocha kimoi yoro bayom. What means yoro bayom? That it was thrown into the yam. So yoro means to go and throw. So here you go and throw the person by giving him a push. Okay, again we're talking about at the times of Matan Torah by Har Sinai. Umnayin shemiskila. And how do we know that you also go and give that person skila? Well, at least before also, at least. How do you know there's a din of skila? Tamalayma, that's the fairish in the pasuk. Yisakel, yisakel. It's a din of skila. Umanayin shemiskila, umitchia. How do you know it's both? It's really the other way around, but the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk. I don't know why the pasuk is the other way around, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu in his divine wisdom obviously had a good reason. So Tamalayma, it says, sakel, yisakel, oyora, yiyora. So from learning from this, that it's both skila and there's also the tchia. Both the pushing down as well as the stoning. How do we know, like, if the tchia was enough to go and kill this individual, that you do not have to do the skila? Tamalimer, oi yora yora. That oi comes to tell you it's one or the other. Doesn't have to be both. If the tchia wasn't sufficient, then you do both. However, if that was sufficient, oi tells you shishinuk. So that's all at the time of Har Sinai. How do we know that? Even post Har Sinai, that anybody that's chayiv skila also requires dechia, that you have to push. Tamaloima, it says in the pasuk, sokol yisokel, as opposed to, says Rashi, sokol sokol. And the same thing applies to yoro yoro. It could say o yoro yoro. Why does it say a lashon of yisokel yiyore, which are a lashon osid? That means not only now in the times of Har Sinai, but also in the future. Anytime, chas v'shalom, someone does an aveira for which you get skila, you sokol, a yora, you yora, and at first you go and give a tchia. If that's enough, you did your job. If that's not enough, you sokol, you have to go and follow it up with skila. Says the Mishnah, the imlav, eid sheni noitalesa even, then the second aid, if the tchia alone didn't do the trick, then the second aid takes the even, and he's noital alibai. Pray tomorrow. Noitel, he's able to go and carry this stone on his own. For time of the prices of the Shimon Elazar, Imer Eben Hoisis Sham, Masui Shnei Bnei Adam. It was heavy for two individuals. In other words, it was a very heavy stone. One person couldn't pick it up. Two people had to pick it up. Masui Shnei Bnei Adam. So it says in the price of Noitla, he picks it up. The Nois Naliba, when he puts it on the heart of Nebuch, this person who was being executed, in Mezba Yatza, and if not, then the brings additional avat.
They don't throw it, they just put
it. Oh, one second. Now the question is, what's the question? Our Mishnah says that one individual, the second aid, picks it up. Yeah. And even though he's called aid, he takes it l'chayra unaided. He just said, where, Shelly, where are you? Then he takes it by himself. How could he take it by himself? The Braisa said that it was Masri Shnei Bnei Adam. This is so heavy. How could he possibly take it by himself? And then the Gemara asks, Flitaimich, why are you asking a kasha on the Mishnah? Tikshlecha Yigufa. Forget about the Mishnah. Look at this Braisa that you just read. What does Reb Shimon Elazar say? It was an Evan that was as heavy Masri Shnei Bnei Adam. And then it says Noitla, meaning that second aid picks it up. How could he pick it up? It's Masri Shnei Bnei Adam. It's impossible. It's so heavy. El pshat in the brayse is, and rather the pshat in the Mishnah is, el medali lo bahadi chavre. The two of them pick it up together as one, because one person couldn't pick it up. I mean, unless he's a Goliath, but a normal individual couldn't pick it up because Masri Shnei Bnei Adam. So the two pick it up together, and after the second aid says, "Okay, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with what I'm holding," then the first aid says, "Okay, I'll leave it in your good hands." And now the second aid picks it and throws it. So no, it's no longer noitel or nois nalibai. Vishadi, he throws it. What means? So Rashi explains, if you ever were holding a masui together, a ball or a stone together with someone else, and the two of you decided we're going to throw it together as one, you'll see the coordination will never be perfect. As one is releasing it, the other one is still holding on to it. Even if you say, okay, 3, 2, 1, throw, it's not going to be perfect. If you look at the Rashi at the top, even though both of them picked it up together, but the second one is the only one that's now going to throw it. Why does the first one leave go? To Teisa Marazia, it should go mikoya godoil. It should go be in a powerful throw. It's difficult for two people to be mechavin and to coordinate that they should throw it at the very same second. When one of them has released his hands and throws, the other person is still holding on to it. But when a single individual, when he's holding it, since he's the only guy that's throwing, he can go and do it with a full strength. Ah, so therefore,
is the presumption that the Adim are at the same level as the body at this point? Or are they still on, or perhaps they're on the roof and they drop the stone onto him?
The Gemara doesn't address it. Maybe it'll be addressed tomorrow or another day. Maybe the Mefarshim address it. From our Gemara, from our Mishnah, it doesn't say anything about whether they go down to the lower level or whether they stay upstairs on top of the koyma. When we learned initially that it says in the Mishnah, noisne alibai, it sounds like, you know, you put it on gingerly, so then presumably you would be there down below next to the body. But now that we're concluding that in fact it's shoddy, he throws it, so then you could throw it on the same level, you can throw it from up above. But either way, it's both Adam pick it up, and then the first eight sex says to the second eight, okay, do you have it? Yes, I do. Okay, now you give a throw, and throw it onto the body.
So the akira is done by two people, the nach is done by one?
The stone is so heavy that if an individual can't lift it himself, the individual can't throw it very far either.
I recommend that after the shiur is over, go with your wife or a good friend, pick up a very heavy object, and then ask him or her, after you've picked it up together, okay, can I leave it with you for a second? Yes, I have it. And you'll see that yet for a short instant, the person will be able to hold it on their own.
This would be very dangerous if he's taking this heavy boulder and pushing it over. He could fall over.
Okay. So what you're trying to say is, l'chayra, it would be easier to imagine in your mind that if they happen to be on the top of a roof, so then when one leaves go, then the other drops it on top of the other one. That's easier. But of course, be careful that you don't get too close to the end, because Chas V'Shalom, then you can have two people that will be executed.
You'll miss the guy.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think you should get one of those cranes.
Yeah.
With a release button.
Oh.
And
what about the
they listen around?
Very good
there.
Yeah, but they can do the release. It's like baking matzahs.
Is that considered
machine matzahs? Okay.
But we have also in Shabbos a kira by two people and nocha by one person. So the first one, it's less than a full malacha.
Very good, beautiful. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so that's how they did it. Right, the Gemara invited to him lav, and if it wasn't enough with the two people, then everybody else. And rigimusa kolo like it says in the pasuk. Faitim over time, we have a brisa. Me oilam leishana ba'adam. This was never required. Every time the person died, either with the initial tchia or with the initial tchia and the initial hashlacha of the first heaven, we never had to go and call up for reinforcements and others to go and throw stones, because unfortunately he passed away almost instantaneously. Zoktimar, but our Mishnah says, v'im lav, then everybody else joins in the effort to kill him. Zoktimar, mi kaminat de'ovid. Our Mishnah doesn't say that it actually happened. It says the imitzvah, were it hypothetically, theoretically, be necessary to go and throw more stones, come in, and that's what the Mishnah says. Once the two Adam finished their job, then the Yad Kol Ha'am Bachrayna, then they would go and throw their stones. But lemaisa, historically, this was never required, because unfortunately, each time they passed away, after the two Adam, they didn't need any more.
Yes. Is it Makoshesh, that the Kol Ha'am,
you can more so by heaven.
the whole nation participated.
They participated. They saw and they were afraid. Didn't say they were. They participated.
No. They didn't kill. The second guy doesn't kill it. The whole people will come after it.
If the first one doesn't do the trick, then you have to have more abundance. Yeah, 100%. But if the first one did it, Shiganuk, you don't have to add more.
You don't have to beat a dead anisco.
Yeah, you don't have to beat a dead body.
Exactly. It's Gavra Katila Kotal. He's dead. He's dead. You don't need to add more stones. Frey Timara, not Frey Timara. Omama. It says in the Mishnah, not the Mishnah, the Braisa. The Braisa here on the third line from the top. It says, Eben Hoysish Shom Masu Shnei Bnei Adam. It sounds like that this was the standard Eben that was used every time in every execution. There was an Eben there that was there. Hini Mukhan Mazoman, it's prepared there. Chasu Shalom, any execution, we have the Eben. Frey Timara, but then is the Braisa. Achas Eben Shiniskobo. V'yachas eitz shen nitla olam, v'yachad tzayif shen nerek boy, v'yachad tzuri shen nechlik boy, kulam nekbarim imoy, that all of the methods of execution were buried together with the mes, Rahman al-Islam. So the Evan for Skila, buried with him, the eitz in which he was hung, buried, tzayif shen nerek boy, buried, sudar, that nechlik boy, buried. So Ibazoi, what are you telling me that there was an Evan hoisisham? That means is that they didn't go and prepare the stone each time there was Chas V'Shalom another execution, but rather every time there was an execution, we took away the executing stone and we buried it, and we immediately went and ordered another one online, and we got another one the next day, so that was
Amazon,
there.
On Amazon.
Exactly, on Amazon, just to make sure Chas V'Shalom was
going to be that. Skila stones.
Skila stones, yeah, never. Anyway, so there was always a stone there, not from a previous execution, but it was always, you know, take it from a yad, they got another stone in its place. Zog to Yomorah. Frank Timor, Imo, you just said down in the Braisa that they used to go and bury the stone and the eights together with the body. Hi, but I'm in the Braisa. Hey, Nikborn Imo, you shouldn't be koiver. It's very humiliating. You go in with the body itself, you go and throw the stone after. Rapapa, my Imo, Imo, betvi sasai. So Rapapa, who's always the one that Yovia Kosva Shlishi, the Bendy's famous Teplikarov, always tries to make shalom, says Rapapa, both Braises are right. Nikborn Imo. And a nikbarim imay. You don't actually bury it together with the mess inside that same grave, but rather within four amos of Nebuch, this person that was killed. Four amos of the kever. So maybe there could be. I'm sorry?
You never leave a stone unturned.
Never leave a stone unturned. Beautiful, Shali. We could have used you much earlier when we were talking about the two Edim. You could have aided us in understanding the whole mechanics, how it worked. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara says, Rapapa, you go and bury it in a separate cave or a separate place within four Amis of the Niftah. Okay, Amashmur, Nikta Yadho Edim. What happens if after the Edim gave their testimony in Bezdin that this person unfortunately did a capital offense for which he deserves to get Misa, especially stoning, and what happens after that Haggadah Eidus, unfortunately, they were involved in a terrible, terrible accident, and Nebuch, their one or more arms, or Nebuch, or one or more hands, were amputated. What happens? Potter. We now acquit the convicted individual, and we say, we're not going to go and stone you after all. Why not? After all, the two Edim are Feleslechar, trustworthy Edim, and they were honest, and they told the story that never this person deserves Misa. My time to be in it, the Torah says that these Edim have to push with their hands. There's no hand. So therefore, this person is off the hook. Now, you'll see from this Pasuk, the way the Gemara is learning it, that every Pasuk has to be understood. Mamish kipshutoi, and therefore, if the Edom have no hands, then you can't go and kill him.
Kick it with a fruit.
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a moment. You'll see in another few lines, the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion that when the Torah says something, do you have to understand it exactly, kidakasa, the way it's written? Or that's really more of l'chatchila, or eitz toivik ha-mashmolan. But if you can't, then you try your backup option. But at least the way you see it from Shmuel now, he's saying, no, the Torah is to be understood absolutely, literally. And if these Edom lost their hands post-testimony, then the person goes home free. Frank Timora, why are you only talking about after the testimony? What happens if they were born Nebuch without hands? Or what happens if they had an accident days ago, years ago, prior to the testimony? Why don't you say that they should also be possible? In other words, they should be possible to testify. We shouldn't allow them to be Edom because we won't be able to go and execute the individual because they have no Yad or Edom Tia Boi B'Rishenu. Every Moshani Hasim, the Amakos, in the Pasuk, Yad or Edom, Shohisa Kvar. In other words, by the fact that it says Yad Eidem Tia Bavri Shaina, it means that originally there was a Yad Ho Eidem. It's only now there's no Yad Ho Eidem. Oh, therefore, since he no longer has a hand, Rahman al-Sani, he had one, but he no longer has one. That's when he becomes possible to push the person and to stone the person, and therefore the
technicality.
Because of a legal technicality, he gets all free.
And so too, if an aid, if one of the Edom passed away, would also be so according to this, according to Shmuel.
Hold your horses. Frank Timor Meisvei. Frank Timor Kol Mokim Sheidu Sheyidu Hushnayim VeYoyimru Meidemano BeYish Ploini SheNigman Tino BeBezin Ploini UPloini UPloini Edov Harizei Yahareg. What's Timor's kasha? We have a Mishnah later on, a Bryce later on, that what happens if the original two Edom are not here? That's a person. He ran away, right? This person was convicted by the court in Yerushalayim. And they went, and the two henchmen were taking him down to the place for the Mokka Maskila. But he was himself a very, very strong guy. And he was able to slip out of the two henchmen's hands and handcuffs and all the rest. And as he said, he machta pleita, and he ran away. And now, a year later, half a year later, we find him in Tel Aviv. So what happens now? So the police caught him. And now two Edom come into another Bezin, and they say, Me'idin onu b'ishploini, we can go and be made about this fellow, Shenigmar Dinu b'Bezin. We were there, we were in the audience, we were in the back of the room, back of the courtroom, and we know Nigmar Dinu b'Bezin, Ploini, the following Bezin, he was convicted. Uploini, Ploini, Edom, and you know who the Edom were? Yankel and Beryl. Okay, based on this alone, Harizei Yehoreg. We're now going to go and kill this individual, not based on the first Edom, based on two new Edom. So I see from that, since we're talking about these Tel Aviv, we didn't say he has to go back to Yerushalayim. Sounds like we're going to go and kill him based on these two new Edom, but we're not going to have a kiyum of the original Yad or Edom Tia Boiber Yishoyin Lavizoy, because these are just Edom P.A. type of situation. Not Edom P.A., normally Edom P.A. of course is possible. But here, these two Edom were not involved in the original circumstance, they only saw what happened there in the Bezin. So you see that it doesn't have to be Mamish, like it says in the Torah, Yad Edom Tia Boiber Yishoyin. And for the Amora, so Tirgum Shmuel, Shmuel gives a bit of a doichik pshat. He says, "Behein, hein, Edov. When can you do this? Kol mokim shidush na'im is when the same pair of Edom come 6 months later, and they come into the Bezin in Tel Aviv, and they say, Rabbeisa, you don't have to go through all of the
proceedings
from A to Z. You know why? Because we were there a half a year ago in Yerushalayim, in front of the Bezin Tzedek of Yerushalayim, wherever it was. And the Bezin unfortunately convicted him. And in fact, we were the Edom. Oh, so then these two new Edom, they could be now the ones that do the Tchiyah, and they can do and throw the stone and all the rest. That Pshat, of course, is a very big doichek, because the way the Mishnah is structured, it says that it was Bebezin Ploini, Uploini, Uploini, Edom. Certainly sounds like other Edom, not us. So the article brings from some Achrayim that in the Chanami, according to Smoris Teretz, you have to go and do a shtickle emendation. You have to amend the Braisa, or the Mishnah, not Uploini, Ploini, Edom, but Anachnu, we were Heinein Edom, we were the Edom at that time. But bottom line is, you have to go and follow what the Torah says, literally. Yes, Shelby, you had
so complicated with the amputations of the hands and everything. You need a manual to follow.
A manual, yeah, okay. Shelby, give him a hand for such a great, witty... give him a hand, not an amputated hand. A good hand. Frank Dimar, Omi Ba'inen Krah Kidachsiv, is it really necessary that you have to follow word for word exactly like said in the Pasuk? Aye, and now from here, for the next few lines, Gemara is going to go through kama cases where lechoyin it doesn't have to be exactly. So Gemara v'tani have in the brayso moisimas hamake reitzeachu, that if you have nebuchai reitzeach, you have to go and kill him. And now because of the lashon of moisimas, How does one kill a Ritzach? Ritzach is Besayef, as we'll see later on in our Besachta. He gets decapitated. That's if you have a sword and you can decapitate him. What happens if there are no swords on the market? And the only way you can go and do it is through Sreif or through Chenek or whatever. How do you know? Then do another form of execution. That's the double lashon mois yumas. We're not going to kill him twice. Just means you do the preferred method, so to speak. That's the sayef. But if you don't have, then you do one of the others. So bazoi here too. Yada Aden, the preferred thing is yada Aden, they should go and push down. However, if they don't have hands, they don't have then do it some other way. Somebody suggested give a kick, or have somebody else do it. There's a special gzedus that causes mois yumas. If you can't do the preferred method, you have your backup option.
Can you upgrade somebody from Saif to
Saif? I don't know. The more just says.
Doesn't seem
that's why I left it out. Right. I knew you were going to immediately jump. Yeah, exactly.
It's upgrade or the upgrade?
It's an upgrade because then you get buried in the Chashiv of Rishayim section of the Beis Haros, the Niskol and Nisrafim, as opposed to the second class, the economy class, the Nerugin and the
Nechnokin. Yeah. Why don't we learn from, So learn from that you do a backup option. So Timur, I can't make sure never it's safe. A great lot of dogs, take some more careful, shake with Echad, Ein Melamdin. Because the Torah tells us in two places, a backup option. Why does it have to say in two places? Just say it in one place. Is a chesimah only in these two places? Where are those two? Reitzeach od yamar, what we just said now, that if you can't give the misa, ksubabai, give him another misa. Goy ledom mahi, what's a goy ledom? The sanya. Goy ledom yomis asur reitzeach. Now, we're talking about over here, a person who's a reitzeach bishogeg, who runs the Ari Miklat. And it says in the Torah, stay in the Ari Miklat. Don't leave. Because if he leaves the Ohr HaMiklat, then
open target
to the Goyel Adom is allowed to go and kill him. Immediately, as soon as he leaves the Ohr HaMiklat. In number two, it's not referring mamish to our case, but Oibe'eva hiko biyodoi vayomais mois yumas amaka ritzehu Goyel Adom yomis es ritzeach befigoy bay. The one that is entitled to go and kill is the Goyel Adom. Then there's another pasuk right under that. Goyel Adom hu yomis es ritzeach the fig goy boy who you may send. So the goy ladom is the one that's empowered. Who's the goy ladom? That means a very close relative, his brother, his son, whatever, a very close relative of the one that was never killed. He's the goy ladom. So if you get a report that the Ritzeach Shogeg ran out of the Ari Miklat, we call up the goy ladom. It's your job. What happens if there is no goyel? Now, why is there no goyel? Chas v'shalom, he passed away. That was your question before. If there is none, you asked about Gabdi Edom if he passed away.
Right.
Here it's talking about he passed away. Sinishduka Goyel. How do you know the Bezin Mamidaloi Goyel that the Bezin will say, fine, there's no Goyel Adam. We will go and send the Goyel Adam. We'll send a professional Shliach to do the job. Shinemar Befigur Boy. Why do we have to add the Befigur Boy? We already said in the posse, Goyel Adam Yomisitri Tseach. Befigur Boy. What's the extra Befigur Boy? Befigur Boy means that if there is no Goyel Adam, then we'll make a new Pegea.
We'll appoint one.
Mikol Mokum. So since I have two psukim that both say there's a backup option, only in these two cases, but not otherwise. Doesn't everybody agree that there has to be, like I said, in the Torah Mefedish, no backup options? But now we have a Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is talking about a Ben Soirer U'Moira. Now what does it say about the Ben Soirer U'Moira? So if you look at number three of the Torah Harishalim, it says, V'safsu by of the Imai. The parents have to go and grab hold of him. Next pasuk. Va'omrel zikne iroi, and they say, b'nei nuzeh, soyra moira, enei nishumei b'kaleinu, zayla v'soyvei, etc. And then it says, gamu, etc. So now the question is, this is a very, very detailed description. Rashi said, wouldn't it be just enough to go and say that the ben soyra moira comes in front of Bezin, and Bezin is done him? We have the Safsu boy and by Tiyoi, so if the Omru, B'nai Duzeh, Agans and Megillah. So the Gemara says, Shenema. So now we go through Vatanan. We have a Mishnah. If one of the father or the mother was gidem, gidem means have an amputee, or ilem, they were mute, or chiger, or hinkadika, hinkadika means lame, or suma, or blind, or chedesh, or deaf. And an asked in the same way, then the child doesn't become a certain way. Why not shenema? Because it's in the posse. The saf subai, they grab him, for like gidmim, and not if they're amputees. Voitiu oisoi, voloi chigren, they take him out, and not if they are chigren, if they're never lame, they can't really take him out properly. The yom when they speak, for like ilmen, not if they are mute. Because if they're blind, they can't see him. And not if they happen to be never deaf mute. So he's not listening to our call. Of course, they don't have a call. So, Kimar, my timer, what's the reason why you don't do the you have to have exactly like it says in the Pasuk? So if they happen to be a chiger or an ilim or a chayrish, he's off the hook. So you see, it has to be kinachsiv. That's a special case because the whole pasuk is so explicit.
So mechudish the whole dinsar already.
Yeah,
and he's because he's killed on the future, not on the crime he committed.
Well, that's a separate story. If you look at the Rashi, kulei kro yaseiru, about five lines before Mishnah, kulei kro yaseiru, a little bit past halfway down, the havale the michle pasuk should simply say boitiu el shara ira hiuskalu. Has to be agantza megillah that the sofsu by voitziyoi soi the omru but no agantza mice of sulamidi kol oyich dvorim zel lama. What do I need it for? Ah, to teach you that it's got to be very very specific. It's got to be taka legidmin lechigrin leilmin like we learned. But otherwise, there is no rule that it has to be kirechsiv. Toshima, I have another raya. It says the gabe in irni dachas that you go and take es koshlola. El toich rechoiva, you take all of the shalal, meaning all of the property of the people that were oivet avodah zara, all these sinners, and you put el toich rechoiva, and then you have to go and burn it. So Zokti Yimara, what happens if you're talking about a city that doesn't have a rechoiv? Rechoiv doesn't mean, rechoiv today means a street. Of course, you always have streets, you have paths. But it means that there's no plaza, there's no major intersection or something where it would be appropriate to go and put all the stuff and go and burn everything. Say in the Rechoiv, what do you do? Einas Irin Edachas, Rabbi Shmuel. Irin Edachas has to have, you take all the Shlol out, Toich Rechoivas, and you do Kar Rechoiv, so you can't be Mekayim. So it's got to be Kirach Siv. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Ein Rechoiv, if there's no Rechoiv, Oysela Rechoiv, you know. We'll tell all the people, wait a day or two. In the meantime, we're going to go and clear out an area in the middle of the town of the city, and we'll make Agantza Plaza, and then we'll go and take all the Shlol out, Toich Rechoiv. So what do you see from this? The whole machloikis is, does it have to be that there was a rechoiv previously, before they did the avodah zara? Or can you make a rechoiv now? That you need a rechoiv. So if that's the case, how are you telling me that the gabidiyada edim, that it has to be
them, themselves and not substitutes.
Exactly. It's a machloikis tanoi. Now, ein loy boyin yad, boyin rogel, oizin yamonis, ein loy tahara lamas. We're talking about over here Metzaira. A Metzaira, after he now, Baruch Hashem, the Kohen has said, nirpa nega teras min hatzerua. He has to bring his foigelach, and after he has to bring karbonis, and among the karbonis is we go and take some of the dam, and we have first the dam from the carbon, and we put it on the boyin yad. Boyin means the thumb. The boyin yad the yamanis, and the boyin regular yamanis. That's the big toe on the right hand, on the right foot. Not right hand, on the right foot. And it always in the yamanis, you also have to put it on the ear. Now, what happens if Rachman al-Salam Nebuch, this Messiah, is missing a boyin yad or boyin rug? He doesn't have one of the thumbs or the big toe, or he's missing part of the ear. And there was nothing you could do. It's got to be kiddushiv, like it says in the of the Pasuk. You go and put it on its mokim. What means its mokim? Rashi over here is silent. From other Rashis, it sounds like either you put it on the stub, whatever is sticking out, or you go and put the person's arm on the table. He's never missing a boyin yad. So on that place where the boyin yad would be, you put the dam and then the shemen on that spot on the table. Wherever normally you would put it on the boyin yad. So you put it over there. Anyway, noisal makayim v'yotze. Reb Shimon Oimer, noisal al smoyle v'yotze. If he doesn't have a boyin regular boyin yad hayimonis, then you put it on the smallest. So what do I see from this machlokes? According to the Tanakhama, the Tanakhama says
exactly.
Hey, loytar elam, it says got to be exactly like it says in the Torah. If it's not in the Torah, you can't do it. It's got to be kikosin. The other two say, no, there's a backup option. Oh, so that's what the Gemara is saying is, that lechoyed this halacha, when it has to be exactly or not, is in fact a machloikis tanoim, and therefore don't ask any kashas from other places in Shas, because you have two tanoim, three tanoim on this.
I think in the case of chalitza, though, because of iguna, we're makel, that if a man doesn't have, he'll take off his right, take off the shoe off his right foot. I mean, I seem to remember in chalitza we had a similar problem.
Okay, Mitch, and we get to Masechta Zivomis again. Okay. We'll go through that whole sugya. Zog the Mishnah, right? We just learned the Mishnah, Kolin is Kolin Nitlin. After the skill is over, we go and hang the individual. Divrei Rav Lezer. Chamoim, no, that's not true. Not Kolin is Kolin. A Nitla Ela Megadev. Megadev means a Mevorech Es Hashem. Chas Hashem, he curses Ramachmon the son of Rabbi Nishloel. Vo'ivet Avoy Dezara, present Avoy Dezara. Those are the only two that is Tliya. Not all in the Skolin, only those two. Vosep is why only those two. We'll talk about that in the Gemara tomorrow. When you're hanging the person, his face is faced towards the nation. In other words, people can see, oi, look at that. Look at Yankel Smith. I know Yankel Smith. Really, what he did? Never, so everybody sees. For Isha, however, there shouldn't be such a big bezoyan for an Isha. Panel Kalapio 8. We turn the body around towards the 8, so you can only see her back, you can't see the front. Isha not totally at all. Why not? Again, we'll see Mitchum Nigmara Psukim. Omer Blazer, Palishim and Shadach Tola, Noshim Ashkelon. Don't you remember that long Rashi of yesterday? That there were 80 women in Ashkelon, all Machshefis, and Shim and Shadach went and hung them all. And we're talking about Noshim. So you see that Ish is knitless. Omer Lysen, Hitler Blazer, that was like a Hurrah Shah. Shmoinim Noshim Tola. All in one day, 80 women, all these Machshefis. Remember, we learned the Gemara earlier that one Bezdi can't even do two in one day. So how can you do 80 in one day? This is all under Shimon Mechetta's auspices and aegis. It's the Chassim, and this was a Rosh Hashanah, but under normal circumstances, it says the Tanakama, says the Chachamim, Eina Isha Nitlis. Mechem to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Hatzlach.